accession number 22079, reel 2.
Mr. Chamberlain, reel 2. Right, Mr. Chamberlain, just to stay on this period during the Battle of Britain, and you mentioned you can't really remember that much about Sevenoaks, but are there any incidents, air raids, any kind of memories of this period that you can remember?
Well, air raids, oh yes, we got them at down where we were.
What can you remember about those?
But we were employed in digging trenches, really. We were billeting in a great big house and went and dig trenches, you know, for air raids. I remember one time we were at this big house and we had to go on inspection, medical inspection. And it was a lovely day and we had to put just our trousers on. And it had dropped your trousers down when MO come round and there was girls in next house looking and waving at us and we still had nothing on. Yes, ma'am.
So you were digging air raid shelters?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Did you ever see any of the German aircraft coming over?
Oh, we saw some German coming, you know, planes over, yeah.
Now, you mentioned there was an invasion scare. What did you think about the possibility of an invasion?
Pardon?
What did you think about the possibility of an invasion?
Oh, well, it's we just take these things in your stride, you know. You don't realise it, that you're just doing what you got told to do, and that was you thought about might be juries coming over and that. And anyway, I wasn't so many weeks down there before I went back to Bradford.
And what happened there?
A waiting game, really. I was just waiting in these billets, you know. We had a back-to-back house we were in, and well, I was just waiting there, hanging on, until it come towards Christmas. Back end of December, I think it was, and we're told, right, outside, this is dark and blackout, we're all to get outside and to jump on lorries. And they took us to Keighley Station, where we went up by train up onto Gourock in Scotland for ready for embarking on the boat. This is December. Only been in the army about 4 months, and just got all bedded down. Right, 9th Light Field outside. I thought, oh, this is going up Boatman now. But instead of that, they took us to the station and brought us back to where we'd just come from Keighley. I thought, what a mix up. Someone says, typical army, this, yeah. But anyway, we went back to Bradford again, to our old billets, and we got on a few weeks there, and we got all told, right, are you going tonight? So some of the lads went into the pub and they got, they don't remember jumping that wagon. But anyway, we got on this wagon to Keighley and back we went up to Gourock. But this time we got on the boat. And where we went.
I'll stop you there because you've mentioned the 9th Light Field Ambulance.
Yeah.
You've said off the tape you were with them all the way through.
Yeah.
In the desert. So when do you think you were posted to them? Would that have been at Sevenoaks or when you came back to Bradford?
I think it was to Bradford.
So you, then you, yeah.
But now, we haven't joined up with our medical units. We're still all drivers now. We got abroad.
Mm. So at this stage, you were called the 9th Light Field Ambulance.
That's right,
there weren't
yeah.
any doctors or...
That's right, we'd know. Yes, we'd know nothing at all. With our own officer, who was Captain Green, he was the Service Corps, our officer.
What kind of man was he?
Oh, he was all right, he knew his job and... He wasn't severe, anything like that. As long as you did what you were told, that was it.
And where was he from?
Hmm?
Where was he from?
I think he was somewhere down south, Captain Graham. I'm not rightly sure where he came from.
So, in terms of the unit at this stage, when you were in England, about how many men and how many vehicles do you think you had?
Well, in our section, yeah. there'd be 12 or 15 and jeeps. That was in, the wagons. We haven't got the ambulances yet. We didn't get the ambulances till we got abroad.
And what kind of wagons did you have here?
Bedfords, mostly the Bedfords. Some were Fords, but I think the biggest part of them were nearly all Bedfords.
What did you think of the Bedford?
Oh, it was all right. I got on all right with mine there. Well, they were new. They were being used. They were camouflage, hot desert.
Now, had you did any so-called schemes, any exercises before you went abroad?
Before we went abroad, no, we didn't get much in nutty actually schemes at all.
So you didn't do any kind of,
we were just waiting and hanging on. But finished we went.
Did you feel like a trained soldier at this stage?
Oh, yes. As it turned out, yeah.
Now, did you manage to get an embarkation leave before you went abroad?
No. No, I didn't get an embarkation leave. Not that I know, because it was so near being joining up with the army and doing my training and going abroad.
Now, you'd been posted to the 9th Light Field Ambulance. Had you been given any first aid training of any kind?
No, never. No, we hadn't, no.
So that was somebody else's responsibility?
We had a medical call with you, lad, normally. But naturally, you helped when anybody got wounded. You just don't stand there, you just help.
Now, in terms of your day-to-day duties, just before you went abroad, you'd have your Bedford truck,
yeah.
Yourself. Who else would be in this vehicle?
We didn't get the truck till we got abroad. At a place called Karkur in Palestine then, Israel.
But in England, you're in this unit. Mm-hmm. While you're in England, before you went away, mm-hmm. You're in this unit. You've got your truck, yourself. Who else would be? Would it just be one?
No, we hadn't trucks in England.
So you just trained on the trucks, but didn't
just
have them.
Trained on trucks, but they're all new trucks when I got to Israel.
Yeah. So what were you actually, when you were in Bradford before you went away, mm-hmm. A body of men. You're in this billet.
Well, we just did nothing, just hanging about, doing duties, your guard duties on picket and that.
So you weren't actually doing any driving? Hmm? You weren't doing any driving at this stage?
No, it's not thought to me, I think you'd gone dead. But I'm sorry about that.
You weren't doing any driving at this stage?
No, so we passed our test and finished with it after our two months with no trucks at all.
So what did you think about that?
Nothing to do, we were just hanging on for... But we got trucks when we got into Israel, mm-hmm. Or Palestine.
So you knew you were going abroad. Did you know you were going to the desert?
Pardon?
Did you know you were going to the desert?
No, we had no idea. We knew we were going abroad, but no, where we were going, we had no idea.
And what was the general feeling? What did people think?
When we were going abroad. Yeah. Oh, we're going this time. We're not going back this time. So we're on the boat. Oh, it was crowded. We're in hammocks, slinging about.
Can you remember the name of the ship?
Cameronia. I think it's Cameronia.
And how many men were on, do you think? Hmm? How many men were aboard it?
How many men? What on board? Oh, there must have been thousands. I've no idea, really. But I know it was crowded when we got drill. Oh dear, oh dear, packed out.
So they'd actually drill you on the ship?
Not really, no. You did nothing for 8 weeks, or 8 weeks on this boat. It went zigzagging like that down Atlantic, round South Africa, and we got off at Durban. We had 3 days leave, and there were cars there ready to pick us up, whisk us away to their homes and they give us food and that for a day, and then they bring us back to the boat, to the docks.
What did you think of Durban? What did you think of Durban?
Well, as I say, we didn't see a great deal of it, really. We just went and looked around the factory. Went and looked around the factory, and all was pretty much the same, but the living quarters for the labourers are very, oh, dear, oh dear. They slept on the floor and a log of wood, tip, right round through the log of wood. That was the pillar. That was a pillar, and just, oh, there in rows all these logs of wood. My mate Alfie, he says, "Well, it's a bit rough in this mill, isn't it?" I'm still with Alfie, I don't know.
So what did people think about how the so-called native people were treated? Was that a topic of conversation?
The people in South Africa, in Durban. Well, that was all right. They were all for, of course, my words. They must have liked us because they entertained us.
How did they entertain you?
And brought us back to the docks and they pick us up next morning and bring us back at night. Oh, it was lovely for while it lasted. Yes, my word.
And then you were back on the ship?
Well, I went, got on board ship and time come, we were set sailing again, and I went up to the Suez canal, and I think you called, don't they call that place now, Tewfik, I think, Port Tewfik. We disembarked there, and what happened then now? We disembarked there and walked up, all with wagons here now, but not our own. There were wagons there, took us up across the canal and away up into Israel. Quite a long journey. And after a few weeks at Karkur, we got these wagons. Nearly all Bedfords were new. And the centre of the steering wheel, you used to take out, you know. And I took mine out, and there's a girl's name in it, from Hull. And I said to Alfie, I said, "Look what I've got here." "Oh," she said, "I said, name in it." I said, "You should go and take mine, I've got one." And he had one as well. So I think they must have been putting them all into it, lads. But I didn't write back to her name or address in, but I didn't write back.
So you had the trucks now?
Yes, we've got the truck.
How were you organised as a unit in relationship, you know, between the men? How were you organised as a unit between the men and the trucks? How many men per truck? And,
we'll detail, so Chamberlain, this is yours, so-and-so, that you got your truck like that. Then you're responsible for that truck.
And would you be responsible for the maintenance of it as well? The maintenance of it as well.
Maintenance. Oh, I had to look after your own truck. Mind, if anything went wrong, there's a workshop.
So what would you do on a daily basis?
Well, in the desert, here, a full-time job, keeping it clean. But anyway, we didn't bother so much with keeping it clean, but your petrol, what we call POW, petrol, oil and water. That was what we got to do mainly.
Now, you mentioned Alfie. Would it be you and Alfie in one truck, or would he have his own?
Oh, he had his own truck at Alf.
So you wouldn't have a driver's mate? There would just be one man?
Pardon?
Would you have a driver's mate?
No, you're on your own. You're on your own. Unless you're travelling far, you get a sergeant or a corporal sit with you.
Now, you were in the desert. Had they give you any special training about how to cope with desert conditions in England?
No, nothing special, no.
And now that you were here, what was there, you know, was there any training now?
Sorry.
Now that you were in the desert, was there any special training then?
Oh, you got to do all drilling. And if the stop warranted you, you'd do a bit of drilling, but as far as rifle firing, nothing like that.
No, but in terms of the trucks as well, you know, was there any, did you go on any exercises?
Oh, yes, if it was possible, but not very often, really. You got detailed for jobs.
And what would they be?
And all picking rations up, going to ration place, getting all the rations for the unit. And that was about the main thing you did.
Now, had you had your medical personnel, were they attached to you by this time?
Well, they come and joined us at Karkur. They joined us. And ambulance as well. They all come and we got detailed. I still have my wagon, but other lads got detail for ambulances. But of course, you take if you're a handy driver and the ambulance wants to take you somewhere, you go home and you don't just lay about doing nothing when there's jobs to do.
And was there any kind of training here? Schemes
in England?
Here? No, schemes in the desert now that you were in Palestine.
Oh, yes, I got that practicing, you know, if anything happened, we was with the medical corps, and that's out over here. Over here, you know, they do to he'd have the stretcher, and then the chap would be wounded or anything like that, and then we'd to carry him back to the ambulance. See, with being a light feed ambulance, it was pretty well forward, and he transferred them back to heavy ambulances where they took them further down the line. Yeah.
So, can you remember which units you were attached to, as the, you know, the field ambulance, which...
That's it, I can't remember yet. It's marvellous, isn't it, how you forget. No, I just... Number nine, light field ambulance, that's... Oh, dear.
Now, you'd arrived in the Middle East. How did you get on with the local people?
Well, we didn't see much of them, really. But, you know, you'd end up on the desert. All at once, you'd see a crowd of what's coming out black. And they lived in these tents, or back, I don't know. How they lived, I don't know. They just weren't wandering about like nomads.
Were you... Did you trade with them? Were you?
No, I wasn't allowed to bother with them. No.
What about leave when you're in Egypt and well, Palestine and so on?
I didn't get no leave in the desert. And when we're in, where was we now? I think it would be in Beirut or Syria. We got a week's leave, and then about half a dozen of us went to Beirut. On leave.
What do you think of that?
I know, it's a bit... well, you're uncomfortable all the time when you're walking about, really, you know, just through... Not enjoying yourself at all, but it was a change, that was it.
Did you feel you had enough money to, you know, enjoy yourself?
Money's all right for money. You don't much to spend it on, really.
Now, so you're in Egypt... You're a fully equipped unit.
Yeah.
What's your first memory of the unit actually going into action?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. We were detailed, along with the medical corps. If there'd been, when there'd been a fight or a tank battle, we'll go up there and get the wounded. Well, if you're driving the... ambulance, you just can't see a medical struggling on his own, so naturally you get out and help him, put out the wounded into the ambulance and take him down the line. I remember one time I had to take moats and wounded down, and there was a brigadier, because he was in the front, it's shell shock, and he couldn't talk or nothing. He did a label on here, and I saw his label, Brigadier so-and-so. I thought, oh, got a brigadier taking down now. And when I got down, about 100 miles down the line, my mate's there, not Alfie, but another one, in 9th Light Field Ambulance. As soon as I go going to pull up against the tent, he says, now there, he says, what? And he says, this brigadier, who had a steel helmet on. He says, there doesn't need a steel helmet on here. I said, shut up, man, he's a brigadier. He said, ooh, he says, so he says, is this around? He couldn't talk to nothing, real shell shock. So he went into the hut, and he'd be transferred further down, and that was it. I didn't see any more of him.
Now, so when there was an action, you'd move up behind forward troops?
I moved up, and... Germans are coming, of course, you move back.
So
up and down the desert.
And so the only medical, you hadn't been given any medical training, you've said. So you'd really be, when you weren't driving, you'd just be a stretcher bearer. You'd be working as a stretcher bearer.
Yeah.
Now, what was your first impression of, you know, when you first went into action, you were first on a battlefield, can you remember what you felt about seeing all of this for the first time? Mm. And what you actually saw?
Well, I don't know. I just, you get told what to do, and it's just driving, you know, and you had your rifle waiting in case anything happened, and you just followed the instructions.
Now,
the medical personnel might say, over here, ambulance over here, you know, and you had to go and see what to do.
So you were driving an ambulance at this stage?
At this stage, yeah.
Now, would you have the Red Cross on the side and on the roof?
Oh, I had Red Cross on each side and on the top.
Did you...
It's only made of canvas, you know.
You had the Red Cross. Were you confident that that would stop you being shelled and attacked?
No, not really, no.
So were you and your colleagues?
I don't know what I told you, but when we went up, we were here amongst the tanks. Some of the tank people said, oh, you don't want to stop up here in that thing. And see, if a shell comes through, you know anything to shield you. I said, well, they're not aiming at us. He said, no, they're aiming at us, but they might hit you. But anyway, they didn't get hit. Hey,
can you remember the first wounded cases that you treated then? The first wounded? Can you remember the first wounded cases that you dealt with?
Sometimes the officers would do wounded at the some legs and all sorts, so you know, they're brought out and went to fire it, put petrol on them and burn them, all these legs and arms and that. We threw out the medical people. Well, you got to do, because it's desert and you can't afford that thing lying about.
How did you cope with that? That kind of duty. How did you cope with that? How did you cope with that kind of duty? How did you deal with it mentally? You know, how did you?
Oh, when you saw this, it's a bit grisly, really. It was that, but I remember one time there were two German pilots. They got shot down. And we went to pick them up, and they don't seem as though not so badly wounded. Anyway, they put them in the ambulance, we took them to the tent, advanced dressing station, and there was a doctor, officer there, Captain Gottlieb, they called him. He was a Czech, and says, I'll put them on there, and so they put them on there, and this medical, of course, said, are they all right, sir? He said, do you think they'll live? He says, no. He said, no, they won't live. So, well, didn't seem that bad at all, but anyway, they both were dead next morning. Yeah. They're Egyptians.
Right, Mr. Chamberlain, we were talking about ferrying casualties and so on. About what distance would you have to travel with a casualty?
Well, not very far, really. Probably about a couple of miles down the line. But the one particular job I had from the advanced dressing station, there were Egyptians. And this would be about nearly 100 miles down to where they wanted to go. However, they got going on the track, and all of a sudden there's such a banging in the back. I thought, oh, what's the matter now with the fighting? Anyway, I stopped, and I went round to the back and see what the matter with them. I opened the door, and they all wanted to get out. And it was prayer time, it was praying to Allah. I thought, oh, good gracious, now I've waited for this lot. So anyway, I got them back on board and off we went down and just got rid of them. I forget where it place they called it now, really.
What was wrong with them?
Just sick. Nothing, weren't wounded or anything. They just were sick. I don't know what they'll be better with them. I just had to take them.
And these were Egyptian troops? These were Egyptian troops?
Yes, they were in the long gowns, you know. They were probably doing some work on somewhere about.
Now, you're out in the deserts fighting in the desert. What would be a typical day with the 9th Field Ambulance? I mean, obviously, you know, you'd be ferrying casualties, but how would your unit be set up? You know,
we weren't doing this job every day, just after a battle, or, you know, and there was one particular time, officer says, "We take these up to the tanks, and load of cans, petrol cans, they're all leaking." He says, "Put them on your wagon and get rid of them. Get rid of all these petrol." And I went round tanks, and "Don't any petrol?" "Oh, I hear petrol. Yes, I hear." And I got rid of all these cans of petrol round about in tanks. And I just finished them, and the officer said, "Oh, it's heavy emptied. I've got rid of them." "Got rid of them?" I says, "Yes." He said, "Well, just over that hill, sand hill," he says, "there's seats of my Thai prisoners." He says, "Take them down the line, will you?" So I says, "Yeah." I couldn't say no. I empty took. Anyway, I went, and there were 40 of them. They got up back of my wagon, a lot of them, back of my wagon. I thought, now I'm having a right do with this lot. And there were sergeant Italians. He was already sat on passenger seat in my truck. And my rifle's here. Just stood at side of me here. And he's there. And I'm telling these lads to get up onto the truck. Off we went. I thought, well, by God, I'm right here. There are about 40 soldiers here. And I know they haven't arrived for anything, but they could have got mine easily. Anyway, we get going, I'm stuck down in sand. Boom, just went down into the sand and stuck. Wheels are going round and round. I says, off, come on, George, I'll get off here. And they've got off and they're pushing me. Come on, Cairo, George, Cairo, we want Cairo. And I says, hey, well, all right, you want to go to Cairo, that's it. And, you know, they pushed me many a time after that. And they wanted to get to Cairo. Anyway, I left them at the station and off they went. I don't know, but they got down to Glasgow, Cairo eventually, I think.
What was your opinion of the Italian? What did you think of the Italian troops?
Oh, no, they weren't. Well, they were just making number of them, I think, really, because there aren't 40 of them there. It could have got my rifle, any of them. And they could have shot me and get the wagon and go back to their own lines, but no, they wanted Cairo.
Can you remember your first encounter with German troops as POWs, German POWs?
What were I captured?
German prisoners.
Oh, I didn't see so many of those, not prisoners.
Can you remember the first Germans that you saw close up?
Then? Oh, yes, I have a book upstairs, it's interesting, but I can't put my eye. It shows you pictures of the German troops and the action in the desert. And it's an old one, but it's my dad had it. He used to look at it. My mother used to say, every night he comes home, he's looking at that book, all about desert and all that. And all that. He used to say, here, Nelly, that's where he is. Look, he's in there. And that was it. How we went down to pull some interest for him.
So when you met the Germans up close, what did you think of them?
Oh, they were a real soldier, the Germans. It's a German officer at court, and two soldiers at court, me and Alfie and myself, he was German officers. But however, that's...
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to that. So, with your truck, you were... You mentioned you were ferrying these Italian prisoners back. You never had to do that with German prisoners?
Well, actually, I didn't have to ferry any German prisoners. No, just this particular case, it was one off for me, really, but I got detailed to go and do it.
Now, you've mentioned these tins of petrol. Other veterans have talked about the British tin being very leaky. Did you come across the so-called jerry can?
Oh, yes, we had jerry cans, yes, but these weren't jerry cans. They're just a square tin, and just ordinary tin. and there was a shine like really of sun on them. And anyway, to get rid of these, because they're leaking. The bucket truck was fast sinking a petrol for 8 days after. But